We've been having a blast at the house. I'm serious. You can't believe the fun we're having with my dad. It's unreal. I mean, really, he's got more of a sense of humor than he's had his whole life. And seriously, we've been having a good time. I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but you guys understand. And his spirit is alive, man. This guy is, you right, Lou?
Amen.
And we're here. I just want to say a couple things, and I'm going to sit down. He has acute leukemia, and they don't know how long he had it, but they don't think he's had it real long. It's super aggressive.
And he shut my digestive system down. I haven't eaten a month.
Hadn't had any food in a month. None. And he's only been on the IV, and that's what's keeping him going. But he requested to come here this morning, and as you can see, he's full of the Lord, actually. You know what I mean? The Spirit's what's keeping him alive, and there's no doubt about it. And we take him places, and they say to us, does he know how sick he is? We're like, yeah, he knows. He's ready to go. And so he told the one doctor, he said, yep, the other day, about 3 days ago, I was sitting in the presence of the Lord. And the doctors, you know, just kind of looked at him. And he said, and I knew what you were going to tell me. And I'm prepared. And we're ready. And we're going to rejoice. This is a great time. This is not a bad time. And that's, if you're around him, Jeanette knows, she's been around a lot. And that's what's been coming from him. And we're seriously doing it. We've had Gavin around. He's been a big help. But he wanted me to tell you about the leukemia and what's been going on a little bit. And what he's going to tell you, good luck. I have no idea, but you can probably figure it out. Probably, what is that he says all the time? From glory to glory, being changed into his image. That's probably what you're going to hear, but come on.
Hey, brother. Bless you. How are you doing? How's your boys doing? I heard they were. Is that Barry? Barry's a good man. I've known him for a long time. I'm surprised to see him, though. The reason I called last week and wanted that you come to my house, it's got out of hand. So I decided to come here. But I want you to know, I did not call you together to pray for me to be healed. Okay? I want God's will to be done.
Amen.
If that's healing, okay. If that's dying, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it came strong on my heart that I had something I wanted to share with you. I'm going to read to you. I'm not going a bit long because I'm getting tired. What did I read after you? Where are you at? What did I read to you? Pete, James? He don't know. He's sitting right there. Forget it. Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:16. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I want you to know something. I'm absolutely convinced I'm right. I've been sitting on this for years. And when I died, I want to leave this fellowship a little bit of rumble. I want you to be thinking about things. Now listen, can you hear me? One verse, 16:16. If you got your telephones on, turn them off. Who alone has immortality? Now you know that's God. Dwelling in an unapproachable light, to whom no man has seen nor can see, or will ever see, to whom be the glory forever and ever, everlasting life. Oh. Now, listen to me. That is describing the eternal dwelling place of God. That has always been in existence. Now these creationist theology who say that God created things out of darkness, there was nothing there, and they're wrong. There, where God's creation is, there's always love, light, what did it say? Immorality and activity. There's always something going on in there driven by the desire of God. Always. And so when God decided, I don't know why, to create man, he had to leave there, but it stayed. God can leave, but that place stays. Now listen, listen. Jacob Boehm over 300 years ago said that that is the fourth element. Listen, Ed. Fourth element of God. God can leave, but that can't change. Regardless of what good, that is always there. That's God's dwelling place. Somewhere in Psalms it says, in the heavens of the heavens, God dwells, but people inherit the earth. Now, why they say it's a fourth element of God, God can leave, but that can't move. That changes. And when God come to create man, he didn't come out of darkness, he came out of there. And he brought part of that with him. And when he said, in my image, and then you're back, then people who believe that it is total depravity come along, they're wrong. Because anything God's image is, you cannot destroy. Nothing can destroy that. Hell, high water, sin, there will always be an image there that God can see. Now, I'm going to talk about God's will. Now, you got kids here, you may have to explain some of this, but I'm going to say something that's just a little shady. But I want you to listen to me. I prayed about this for a long time. I said it to Jeff. God's will, one of the God's will is that all his creation someday call his name. He's determined it. Even if somebody is mad and angered and say, GD, God's got its purpose done. He heard his voice. That creation called on his name. Now, listen to this. When God created man, he put higher senses in places of man. So that when man was in the act of recreation and the sensations got so great, he'd holler, oh God. Now that may sound funny, but that God is making sure man somewhere will call on his name. And that's a good place. And that's not a joke. That was deliberate. You ever sit down and say, oh, God, I'm tired. He heard that. Now then, so much for that. What I'm telling you, if God took time to leave his living quarters, an enmity of himself, to come down here and want a man, he put great value on that creation. He's put humongous. Listen. Even when Jesus come to save us, it's even more proof that he wants more of his will done in his life. And even at the cross, wait a minute, I'm drying up. If I swallow, they come back up. Where was I?
Even at the cross.
Even at the cross in Gethsemane. The night that Jesus lay down, squatted down and sweat great drops of blood. It wasn't a matter of his life or death. It was. But what was the issue? God's will be done. That's what he wanted. It was to do God's will, not to do what he wanted to do. And right there, although we got the outcome of it and we knew what it was, that the issue was God's will to be done. I'm getting tired. And so I felt as a fellowship, and I love you. Love every one of you. And I want you to know that. I think about you. Oh, Lou, you've been on my mind. How you been?
Wonderful.
I knew he'd say that. You can't trust somebody like that. Hey, Lou. Yeah. Tell him, the Lord delights in him, doesn't he?
The Lord delights in you, brother.
Thank you, brother. I need to hear that. And you too.
And that's another will of God. I don't think enough of us know how much God has invested in us. I don't think you know how much God does delight in you. And keep telling him, Ed. God delights because you're His creation. And you never fell out of His sight. He's always seen. Did you know that when you got this kind of leukemia, it shut your digestive system down? Did you know I don't have a pain in the world? Can you imagine that? I don't even take pain. Listen to this, nurses. My vital signs are good. My blood pressure is good. My blood temperature is good. So, but I have got one secret. I'm going to try to beat it. I'm going to try to beat the cancer. I want to die before he kills me. I want to die with it, not because of it. But anyhow, I said that. I want you to pay attention because I know I'm right. But also there's more to know about God's will for us. And when I knew that I was dying, I would rather die in His will than die in healing or non-healing. The healing is not the issue. Now you see, I'm not dead yet. Wouldn't it be funny on the way home, His will for me not to die? But if it didn't, we settled the right way. We didn't settle because we wanted to live. We settled it because we wanted God's will done in our life. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm done. But I got something to tell you.
You want to do the jar?
Yeah. Let me get my breath. I love you people. I think. Boy, have I been thinking about you. Oh, Mike Cunningham. Been thinking about you.
Drinking.
Thinking. The other day we decided as a family that I tell my grandson that I was dying, and I thought it was my job and not his dad's or mom's. So I got him in a little chair in front of me, and I told him I had three things I wanted to tell him. First, I told him that I recognize that God has got a calling on his life.
Yes, amen.
And that he has spiritual abilities. And deep, I'm serious, folks. He surprises me. Deep spiritual insight when we talk. Cannot believe it. But I told him just because of that, he was no better than anybody else. He's no better than me, his dad, his cousins. That didn't make him special only in God's eyes, not ours. And the second thing I told him, in his lifetime, people just like me and you has happened to us, want to tell us how to serve the Lord. And I asked him to be respectful and listen, but pray first to Jesus and ask Jesus how to walk. Amen. Then I told him, get around old men like Bill Timmons. Bill, you here? Oh, there he is. Standing around old men with gray hair. I told him, stand around this man right here. Judy and them, and listen to them talk. And listen to them. And I told him, stand around all of you. I told him, stand around you, Ed. Be careful. Be quiet. But listen. Because the best wisdom in the Lord comes when men don't know they're telling it. When a man is just talking about the Lord, it will find a soil ground and it will seed. Amen? And he took that well. Then I told him I've been saving money upstairs under my drawer in bank drawers. And that it was his, and go get it. I don't know, it's 10, 12 jars, a lot of pennies and all. He started hauling it down. Bombay came down. He said, "Pop, Pop, there ain't no money in this one." So he set it on the shelf by me. Wouldn't know what happened. I told him that was the next jar I was going to fill. So he kept getting them down. And then Bombay, he came back down. He took this jar back upstairs with him. And he was gone. What a while. I don't know what he did. He won't tell me. But he brought it back down. And he said, "This was my jar. And he had filled it with love for me. And he wanted me to take it to the grave with me." Then I told him I'm not going to the grave. Then we decided he'd get some of my ashes in the jar until three other people wanted some. I don't know why. But isn't that something? 6-year-old boy tore my heart up. Then I wept, not wet. So I promised him I'd take the lid off every once in a while and let some of the love out. But we are going to put some ashes in it. Well, that's about it. I'm glad it worked out I could come this morning. I'd rather be here than in my house. You don't have to come this afternoon. I don't expect you. Don't even know if I want you. There's a group of people who wants to come that I have influenced over the years without knowing it. And I think they want to come and say something to me. But I want you to take seriously. I think this fellowship is a great one. I believe in the elders. And I love every one of you. But I believe we need to learn more about the will of God in our personal and corporate lives and start to fulfill that. Okay, any got any problem with that? Now, if anybody prays I get healed, I'm going to get all this cheer and fight. Yeah, I do want to pray. I don't want you to think that I have anything. Sometime back, a person wanted to make men roars of me. He used to be a reporter on the news in that woman owned a furniture store in Rehoboth, Seaford, Langle. They were friends, and they thought, he thought, she told him a lot of this. And I said, "Listen, I have no memories. Anything I've ever done right is because of Christ, so why give me any credit?" And that's the way I mean. And I don't want you to think that I've got any special prayer of any great anointing, except that I love you. And our love is in Christ. Amen. And when I say I love Yvonne, I love Yvonne, but I love her husband just the same. See, in Christ we love one another. Although there's a couple of you ladies might not know it, you kind of slipped in a little close on me, such as your mother. If you can't love her, then you've got a problem. And a couple others, because we got very close in ministry. And some of you I love very close because of ministry. So if, when I pray, I will pray out of the assets that we've met one another in ministry, okay? I'm getting tired. Jesus, thou knowest all things. And you know all these people. And you know I love them. And they've helped carry me for many years now. And we all know that this fellowship would not be possible without you. And you get all the glory. But Father, we are also aware it would not be here without these people. And they're just as important as a presence as any other presence. One is greater, but they're both important. And Lord, I pray that they see some of the greater reasons why God left his living spot to be connected with man. He came walking in the garden. He burned in the bushes. But that wasn't him. his forehead finger, that wasn't him. On the mountain of translation, that was him, but not his fullness. So God, it is our desire that we begin to know more about your perfect will. And God, it looks like I'm about ready to find out a little late in life. But I want you to know in front of these people, I'm thankful that I have a faith that's carrying you to me and bringing you to me. And I'm looking forward to that glorious, glorious moment in Christ. Now, Lord, especially if I have any anointing at all, especially leave it on these people. Leave it square on them. May they feel the touch of the glorious presence of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And all the saints said, hallelujah. No amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yeah, would you all like to stand and pray for me?
That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ in us, in itself, in totality, is a witness to the world around us. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. I even get speechless sometimes. In total silence, I sit in awesome wonder of this great truth that he came also to save me and to set me free and to forgive me. But he came to be in me and I in him, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may thou know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you know that as God the Father loved his Son Jesus, this says to me, he loves me in the same way as the Father loves the Son. That's why, too, by his grace, and it's grace alone, it's all grace, grace, grace. I arise by his grace in the morning, if he see fit. If I'm here, he's here. And if I'm there, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. What a glorious day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. And I had a dear brother that I was blessed to know and learn a great deal from. And he had a simple little prayer that he would pray when he would get up in the morning. And his prayer was, what do you have in store today, God? May I be a part of it? Well, I added a little bit to it. When I get up in the morning, I say, "What do you have in store today, Lord? Thanks for me being a part of it." And we are that. We are that. We are that. We are that. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord Jesus. Oh my, oh my. He fills us to overflowing. I think the last I had opportunity to be with all of you assembled in the assembly, I remember sharing this. The famine is over and the drought is ended. Jesus said, they that hunger shall never be unfed, and they that thirst shall be filled. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.